Random Ass Podcast. Hey, and we're back, and it's three of us. I'm not going to make a shot at the one that's not here, because he's not here for a good reason.
Wait, hold on.
Finally, the Silver Badger has come back to the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, it's too loud. You're not allowed to do that anymore.
Everyone's going,
ah! Well, yes, the Silver Badger, after taking a week off, is back, and we are, and the, of course, across from me is the ever-beautiful and ever 40 and a week old, the Flop.
Hey.
Missy. Bender is not here because... we'll get into me leaving town soon, but Bender is leaving town tomorrow, and he did want to have an entire family night, and we are beat, so we were like, yeah, I don't know if we're up for an entire family night tonight, and so he's just chilling at home before he takes off for 4 days. I guess it's work. Is that what he's gone for, work?
I think he's going to Arkansas or something, right?
That's not really a vacation. I win. I'm going to Oceanside, California.
They're
going to
know he's not from there because he's got all his teeth.
Yeah, they're going to know a pretty guy like him doesn't fit in. Unless he's around Fayetteville and the University of Arkansas, then it'll be all right.
Now I'll be gone not this week, but next week.
What for?
Going to Texas.
Tejas.
Oh, yep. For the family.
I'm going to bring a fiddle so I can be in the band.
Got me a fiddle. Hey, what are you doing down there?
We're going to go visit Kelly's sister and my new nephew, who just was born on July 1st, maybe?
Ooh, my birthday.
Yeah, he was born that day.
The day you were having such a good time.
Yeah, good segue. We didn't hear. Everybody talked about their point of view from the Flop's birthday.
I got drug away, so I didn't even get to finish.
What was your point of view for the birthday?
I was good, but man, I was drunk.
Do you remember half of the day? Because you,
I browned out a couple times. I think.
Yeah. I feel like I couldn't. You weren't focusing about halfway through the second brewery.
I get googly-eyed. Yeah. Gosh, I believe you called it to in the podcast.
Yeah. Bender and Melissa did, yeah.
Yeah.
You, me, and Bender were definitely the three most drunk people there.
Well, here's what's weird. I pretty much remember every brewery stop we were at.
Yeah.
But the bus rides to the brewery stops, nope.
Is that where you took a nap?
That's where I kind of browned out, I guess.
6 Mile got a little hazy on me.
Was that the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that place is kind of weird. Where was it? It was like in the middle of like an office park, it seemed like.
Well, it's in Maryland Heights. And here, was it weird or were we in a weird state when we got there?
A little bit of both.
I wasn't in the same beer drinking state as you guys were. I did not enjoy that place. I didn't. The beer wasn't that great.
I have no recollection.
The bartender wasn't friendly.
I do remember that.
No, he looked like he wanted us to get the fuck out.
Yeah, and the place was empty.
Every brewery was empty.
There was like 3 people in there or something.
Friendship had a decent little crowd.
No, it was...
It was us. We were the decent crowd.
Every time we've ever been there, it's been busy outside and barely a table inside.
That was my first time there, and it was probably half full?
Not even, I don't think.
I think the two times we've gone have been big things happening.
Yeah, and then... But it was a very slow day overall, but everybody made a point. There was a couple festivals going around.
Okay.
Fair St. Louis, the Heritage Freedom Festival. I mean, there's a lot of things going on.
Oh,
St. Louis
that one place was packed, the Thrift Stop, the place in North County.
It's a restaurant, too, yeah.
Yeah.
And what else do people in North County have to do?
Man, that guy was pissed at me.
That's right.
What did he do?
So I asked for a beer, and then the bartender comes back with, like, this growler can. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he kind of gave me a look like, was this what you wanted? I'm like, I guess so. So I just got it, paid for it, and then I, like, as soon as
I opened it.
And a manager comes out of nowhere and wanted to give me an RKO or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you can't open that here. It's very highly illegal. I'm like, I didn't know.
It's didn't just we a big beer.
Yeah, didn't we compromise by pouring it into glass? What happened?
They brought him a different beer. He was very, once, like, I was very, like, not a dick about it. Like, I'm sorry. Can we just pour it in a glass? He did. And then he gave me a fresh one to take home. So that was very nice. Did not need to do that.
There's something.
Did you check your bill?
No, but I did give him $5 to give to him.
There's got to be something about single serving beers and the limit on the size and the growler. Like at the establishment, you can take it to go. So I don't know. There's got to be some rule for
some weird North County shit. I've
definitely had, because I think it was like 36 ounces. I've definitely had, like, the fishbowl at Ragazzi's on the hill.
Yeah.
holds at least 70 beers. Whatever.
Who knows? It was very good.
What about those big drinks at Fuzzy's Tacos? Aren't they huge? Mm-hmm. Feel like it's the same amount?
Does anybody else feel dirty calling it Fuzzy Tacos all the time?
It is kind of weird. I've never been there, so I don't...
I mean, you know,
you've never been to Fuzzy Taco?
No.
You know what a fuzzy taco is, right?
It's a moldy taco.
A lady part.
Oh, like never mind. You remember the Late Show when Kilborn did it, and not
yeah,
the Daily Show,
the original,
and he did like the five questions.
Yeah,
and he was asking Boy George if he ever come face to face with a bearded clam, and there was just awkward silence, and then Boy George just kind of gave him a look like, "What is he talking about?" And it's like, "Oh, you mean vaginas?"
Yeah,
yes, I've come face to face with a vagina.
Is that how he sounded?
Yeah, he's British.
Yeah, he's
and it didn't sound like you were speaking in a
British
accent.
That was a pretty good Boy George accent right there.
I don't know. Thanks, I feel like his accent, Boy George's accent, is actually more British, or was.
I think he captured the spirit of his voice, though. So enough about your birthday. They don't need to hear about it 2 days in a row, or 2 episodes in a row.
They'll do what I... the listeners will do what I want if I'm the one talking right now.
Yeah, I mean, all they can do is stop. At this point, they've already downloaded
it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. We are going to talk. This is going to be a really... You know what? Bear with me. Some of you may go, ugh, when I say this is going to be a wrestling-centric podcast.
But even I'm excited, as long as we don't go off topic.
But it's going to be about, well, that's easy there. Easy there. This is going to be a gorgeous ladies of wrestling-centered topic, because I believe all of us at this bar have watched the season in its entirety now.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Yep. Well, before we get into that, I just did want to say I did Google my hotel, and there's roughly 20 breweries within 10 miles of my hotel, including Ballast Point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, in what mile radius?
Inside a 10-mile radius.
Oh, 10 miles.
Yeah. So, Ocean City, is this Southern California?
Yeah, this is in between San Diego and L.A.
Okay.
And,
Do you fly into...
I'm flying into San Diego and Ubering up. It's about 30 miles.
Okay. This is for work?
Yes.
Cool.
I got to be there Wednesday morning.
Okay.
I'm flying in Monday afternoon.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, people, don't be sitting outside house stalking me while Jeremy's
gone. The reason I bring that up is there's a very good chance that we will not have an episode next week on Sunday release, because I do not get back until 10 o'clock Sunday night.
Okay.
So, we might do a 2-episode week or something. We'll figure something out on the next week.
Okay.
So
I fly out Tuesday morning.
Yeah, so you'll be gone anyway. When do you get back?
I get back Saturday around lunchtime.
Okay. So, if we do a Monday night or something, you'll be back.
Yeah,
well, you can't force him to do a Monday night before he leaves.
Well, I could do Monday the 17th.
No, not... Yeah. Oh. He's leaving this Tuesday.
Oh.
No, not the 11th. Oh, I leave the 18th.
Ooh. Yeah.
So I could do that Monday night.
Oh, yeah, we'll figure it out.
Better talk to your wife about that. Yeah, she might be busy.
Hey, we're men. This is a manly podcast. We don't
this
have
is
to
man.
Ask
all
with podcast. With a woman flair.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
We have Charlotte Flair on here?
Whoa!
She's...
Shouldn't her nickname be Second Nature instead of...
Ooh.
It they're missing the boat there.
I like it.
All right, let's get into it. Speaking of female wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's called a segue, folks.
Yeah. Professional. Take a drink. That should be a new rule. Anytime we have a good segue, take a drink.
But only if you don't call it a segue.
Well, yeah, he called it out. I mean, what a jerk. Oh, there you go. Take a drink every time we call out our segues.
Oh, okay. Is that what we do?
Well, no.
I thought that was kind of one of my shticks.
Our drinking game.
I think I had the most shticks of the drinking game. I felt kind of proud.
She had the least... I got rid of a couple of mine because I was like, I feel like we can't have too many, because literally it would just be one long chug if you listen to the fucking episode. Anyway, we just wrapped up this morning, actually, the last episode 9 and 10 of the entire season of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And I want to talk about our thoughts on the season. And then I did write a couple of notes about the real Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling to kind of compare and contrast the what's fiction and what's reality. So... we'll start with the one female on our board here. What did you, Melissa, think of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling?
Well, first of all, it kept my attention because, one, I loved 80s wrestling. I did.
And what?
Two.
You should know.
Newsflash.
Two, it was about chicks. That's very empowering. That's very empowering.
Chicks,
for
man.
So I dug it. There's a couple characters I don't care for.
Let's go into those.
She did not like the rock girl, the really uppity bitchy.
The drove the limousine.
Melrose?
Melrose.
I liked how she was kind of phased out more and more.
Yes, that's what I was thinking about this morning, because she had that one episode where she was just a raging bitch. And I was like, I don't like her. She's very just off-putting. And then she had less and less to do.
Well, yeah. I'll talk about my thoughts on her in a little bit, but I want to keep going on yours, what you thought of her.
Machu Picchu, love that character.
Oh, yeah.
Love her.
I loved her family.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was definitely a
lot of good wrestlers
in
it.
I loved the last episode where her dad came.
I'm about to say, are we going to spoil the thing?
I don't care. Oh, I mean, seriously, if we're talking about it, they should know that we're going to talk about it.
There is something weird about spoiler warnings on Netflix series that all download at once, but and then that's not a big spoiler warning right there.
No, I mean,
no.
So anyway, yeah, I liked it. I'm looking forward to the second season.
What'd you think?
Absolutely. Well, I want to like kind of get into like how I got into the show to begin with. Like about a month ago, I just saw it as a YouTube trailer. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, how did I not know about this? Because
I love
Alison Brie,
and I heard about the show. I mean, it was a while back, but it wasn't so long ago that it did seem to sneak up on a lot of people.
I'm not gonna lie, I was not excited at first. I was like, I don't want to watch this shit.
I was excited because it's wrestling, it's 80s, and Marc Maron, who I think I find pretty. But I stopped listening to his podcast.
I have a note on Marc Maron, and I believe it was Bender who. And I want to talk about a lot of the characters here in a second as we break it down. But I think it was Bender who said after watching, he watched the first episode or two, and he said, you know, it's good. He's like, you know, Marc Maron's being Marc Maron, but I don't think that's right. I think one of the reasons it's so good is because Marc Maron is, yes, there is a little bit of a curmudgeon in him, and but he's not the over-the-top hating, bitching Marc Maron that he is in his stand-up. He's a little more subdued in his hate. It's a little more off-the-cuff sarcasm than it is just outright hate. I think he did an amazing job.
Oh, he was fantastic, and he will definitely get nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
He's one of the many things about this show that was very good.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it was good throughout. It felt like the episodes 7 through 9 kind of slowed down a little bit.
As they prepared for the actual.
Yeah, but then the final episode was fantastic. But
see, I feel like they slowed down, and then it's like all of a sudden, boom. Like, final, not the final episode, but the big match.
Yeah.
It's like, they were working towards it, took forever, and then next day, it happened.
Yeah.
And that, I didn't like that. Okay. I was like, what the hell? Why is it all of a sudden has to be done that day? Like, they weren't prepared, obviously. There was so much shit going on, costumes, props, all that shit. So, I feel like they could have, in episode 9, maybe, not and between episode 9 and 10, not rushed into that final match.
Could have maybe had some more montages to kind of show the.
Well, I think the reason they ran into the final match like that is because the same thing reason that and again, cover your ears or fast forward if you don't want to hear this. The same reason Sam Sylvia, which is Marc Maron's character, also pulled that surprise because they you had the final match. The big climax.
And the payoff, if you will.
And you find out it's not the payoff. Now they're going to have to build the story after.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of, I think they were very much mimicking kind of pro wrestling in a show that is mimicking pro wrestling. I tell you what I've done.
Well, I mean, even Alison Brie, you know, used the term work after the.
Yeah, yeah. Is this a work? Yeah. And here's the thing, too. Let's talk about it. Let's get it out of the way. I know you're not going to want to hear this part. Because she had a
immediately.
Big, she had an interview about it as well. Alison Brie's boobs, they're on point. But she said in her
interview. Why don't you want to talk about Alison Brie's
boobs? The moment she got naked, I said, this is what we're going to fucking talk about during the podcast.
Well, she brought it up because she said, apparently people have been fixating on my boobs for a long time. She even alluded to her cell phone hack.
That she was hacked?
Yeah, her boobs got out there, too. And so she was like, it's funny that now that you can see my boobs, she goes, she goes, these are the worst boobs I've had in my life because she says I've had to get in shape for the role. So I'm getting more muscular and my boobs are less plump than they normally are. She goes, when I've been a little more chunky, my boobs have been bigger and better looking, she thought. But so
men are pigs.
Really are. Because her boobs are a topic of everything. If you look up Alison Brie's boobs,
including this podcast,
it's all over there talking about it on the episode. But her character, here's what I want to focus on. Here's what I liked about the show so much. For one, there wasn't a whole lot of jokes. It wasn't a dense joke show.
True.
But the jokes that were in there to be jokes, man, I laughed my ass off. At the when they go to the, again, details, the abortion clinic, and his the way Marc Maron was reacting, his little joke he has there, Man, I busted out laughing hard on that one. And it was so poor taste. And that was the point.
Yeah.
He's at an abortion clinic, and it's, you know.
I probably would have enjoyed that whole scene more if I didn't see Brockmire do the abortion angle not too long ago, a lot funnier.
Oh, okay.
When Brockmire accidentally snorts.
Amanda, you said that.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, but still, you got to separate the two shows. I mean, show altogether.
But I think it's just because abortion humor is something that just kind of would stick out to you as very risque. I mean, hell, we still talk about, not we as a group, but people.
Society.
Shishmortion.
Oh, Shishmortion. Because that's hilarious.
Yeah, that was like the first time I ever remember an abortion joke. It's a very taboo topic in this country. And
well, but it, other than that, what I liked was other than the jokes, there was a couple jokes that really, 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 really hit for me, and I laughed hard. But what I loved about it was the character development. The characters, for almost sure. Every character had a defined arc. You guys kind of, even though the girl that you kind of poo-pooed on, that she is a bitch. She's painted to be a flat bitch in the beginning. And I think the reason Melrose, Dogfish, I'm about to get a Dogfish 60-minute IPA, which is still my favorite IPA. Excuse me. Sorry, microphone. I just got a little bit of burp in it. But anyway, Melrose.
Thank you.
And I think one of the reasons that she does phase out, and I don't think it's a phase out like, because I think when you say like the character phases out, it's almost an indictment on the writing. Like, this girl was so prominent at the beginning and now she's gone. I think she phases out because she becomes likable and more part of the team. And so,
yeah.
And it gives the other characters time to fade in. For instance, Machu Picchu.
Yeah,
we got. Right.
We got. She had her moment in the beginning and then disappeared and then comes back at the end.
But did Melrose have like a arc where she became likable?
She just like.
I don't know if it was an arc, but it was like the episode after where she was just a raging bitch, and then All of a sudden she's sitting around with everyone, and
she's having
and
fun at the birthday party.
Yeah, at the birthday party, and the young girl that sleeps with the pizza delivery guy, she says, "Hey, will you split a pizza with me?" It's like she just kind of,
yeah,
I don't know, morphed into their friends somehow.
Yeah, well, actually, she goes, another pizza? Yeah. She paid for the lunch. Justin Biagi, who was Justine Biagi, that's the another spoiler. We won't say that. But it turns out that's her big part in it. She kind of climbed. I tell you who had the least of a character arc, but they may have been the funniest characters, or the Battle and Betty's.
Oh, that was the best part.
They were the biddies. I don't enjoy their characters.
I dug it. The more they gave them, the more I liked it. At first, I thought they were kind of annoying.
My thing is I know that they had to have shticks as these wrestlers. Why couldn't they have been like the female Junkyard Dogs? Why did they have to be old bitches? Why? It just didn't make sense.
Well, their previous arc was the KKK, probably.
Yeah.
So I also thought they did a good job of, you know, I mean, I think the central, for those that don't know, that this show is based on a short-lived 4-season run of a real wrestling program called The GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And this is kind of a fictitious look at the history of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And this, even though there's a good chunk of character development throughout the whole thing, the central storyline, the through line for the whole thing, is Allison Brie's character, which is Ruth Wilder, and Betty Gilpin, which is Debbie Egan, who is a former soap opera star who had a kid and was being a housewife and then decides she's missing something too. Well, she's best friends with Allison Brie's character, who then sleeps with her husband. And then, you know, I thought by the end of it, they did a really good job of
I was like two Mad Men alumni getting in the sheets.
Oh, that's right. That's who it was. Yeah. So, it's good. It was just good.
I have this thing with mouths. I'm always looking at people's mouths. Nothing's wrong with your mouth.
So
Debbie Egan, her mouth is weird. I even said.
What?
Let it be said that she just said my mouth was fine.
Mine too.
What
about Bender's mouth?
His mouth is fine too. I don't.
That boy got a fine mouth.
He got that gap tooth.
Yeah, he got that Letterman. Well,
I don't notice.
That's
it
the
anymore.
Money smile, my yeah. man.
But anyway, like she just does something weird with her mouth. Like sometimes she's pretty, and then all of a sudden she kind of talks out of the side of her face, like Elvis or some shit.
Her eyes is what did it to me.
And
it's like did what?
Sometimes I thought she was very pretty, and other times I thought her eyes were very weirdly spaced on her face.
You guys are harsh.
Yeah. And
I was just staring at her boobies.
And Ruth,
she did have big
or
boobies.
Alison Brie, her lips are so weird, and the way she talks, the way her mouth moves it's like she's very, like...
Alison Brie?
Yeah, like, the way she talks is very, like, calculated.
It's almost like she's over-enunciating her words. Yeah.
She's cute.
Here's the deal, too.
But her lips are weird. They look very dry and unhealthy all the time.
They did a good job with her, too, because I think Alison Brie's very pretty in real life.
Yeah, they dressed her down. She talked about that.
Yeah, they did. They dumbed her down. And in fact, some of the... And we'll get into the real-life version of the glow here in a minute. But some of the things I noticed, too, is...
You noticed?
Noticed. Yeah, I was about to burp again. Excuse me. Is even though... Don't get me wrong. There wasn't really an ugly girl in the show. I mean, but... The real Gorgeous Ladies Wrestling were closer to models and 80s pinup girls.
So there weren't any big ones?
No, there were.
But
they were
Machu
still
Pichus?
Pretty?
No, but they were. I mean, it's less like pro wrestling. You're always going to have a big person. But the people that were skinny were very skinny and attractive and done. Oh, yeah, that's another character that I thought maybe one of the most touching and best moments of the whole show was Sheena the She-Wolf, the wolf girl, when she finally come out and told her, you know, this is not my gimmick. She had some kind of social anxiety. One of the things, Pop Culture Happy Hour, they reviewed it last week, kind of panned. And don't get me wrong, I don't listen to Pop Culture Happy Hour as much as I used to. But even when I did listen to it all the time, one of the things that frustrate me a little bit about that show is this is a little harsh critique of them. But there are a little bit of social justice warriors in it Pop Culture Happy Hour.
You don't find the woman's voice annoying?
No, but what I find annoying is when they don't find enough, like when they don't talk, they talked about the Bechdel test and stuff like that. When the show doesn't meet it, or like for instance, one of their criticisms of this show is, and they had, I can't remember what the name of the black woman that's on there that fills in from time to time is on there. She's a super smart woman, so I would never... You know, take anything away from that. But they were like, well, it also, I don't think it did a good job with the stereotypes. Like, it didn't shine a light or it didn't really. Well, here's the deal. It was late 80s wrestling. There were extreme stereotypes in wrestling at the time.
What do they mean? Like,
I don't know. They were like, they didn't really explore it. And first off, I think they did explore it.
Absolutely.
I think they did a great job exploring it, especially in spite of the fact of it being a pro wrestling show. You know what I mean?
I think the only thing I would give them on that maybe is the two characters that probably got flushed out the least would be the Indian girl and Fortune Cookie.
Yeah, but if you listen to the episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour, they've got more, they're dealing more with Welfare Queen and Chains.
Junk Chain,
yeah. I mean, I think that's probably their biggest complaint.
Which one was Junk Chain?
She was the trainer.
The actress.
Yeah, what was her name?
Cherry.
Yeah, Cherry Bang. Sydney Noel is the name of the actress that plays her.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But both of those got, you know, she had the show and her husband, who was awesome.
Jeremy, my favorite character.
Yeah.
My favorite character on the show. I love it when he's... Another laugh out loud moment for me.
Yeah.
He's sitting there working out, and she goes...
Well, the girls are doing their car wash.
And she goes, aren't you going to come get in the car wash? He goes, nope. I'm in there working out. She goes, you don't want to get in a bikini? He goes, don't have a bikini bod yet. He's pumping iron.
Or like when he was whispering as the ref, like, oh, I am so happy with you right now. You're doing a great job.
Yes, yeah.
See,
I noticed that too. I was like, I guess they all talk to each other in real wrestling.
Yeah, that's real pro wrestling.
You don't see it. I guess that you don't see a lot on camera. Would you see it at a real match?
Yeah, so like when you do headlocks and stuff like that, that's when they tell each other what they're
better.
Do.
The better wrestlers are better at hiding their communication.
Yeah,
some guys
they do like taps and stuff like that. Or
well, and some guys know each other's moveset and they've been wrestling each other enough in dark matches. That's non-televised matches that when they're in the big show they know. But usually it's things the referee says. Like if he says, "Break it up, break it up," or like maybe like you know he's telling the he's telling one guy, you know, you better quit trying to break the rules. I'm next on the count of five. What he may actually be saying is, hey, 5 minutes to commercial, then take a powder, take a breath, you know, things like that. It's all coded message, and they're very smart about it. I mean,
it's a lot more choreographed now than it was.
Yeah, in the last 6 years especially, it's become overwritten and over choreographed, and that's where a lot of guys like Steve Austin and even Jericho, who still lapped over, those guys say, you know, we're not, it's frustrating that they're not as free, and that's why the product is quote unquote not as good. And it's because of that, because they don't train these guys to be able to communicate without talking and stuff, and they're out there following a script more. But back to the GLOW, overall thoughts on the show for me were, I loved it. I loved the characters. I thought Mark Maron hit a home run big time on it.
Yep.
I even thought some of the characters that did annoy me, like Mel Rose. What's her name? We keep referring to her as Mel Rose, but let me check her out here. She was that Rhonda Richardson? Kate Nash. So Kate Nash is her name.
Sure.
But
I'll go with it.
I thought even the annoying characters like her like a true heel, she got across because she was annoying. So.
Right.
But I wasn't so sold on Betty Gilpin, Debbie Egan, at first. Not as a character, but as an actress. I was like, I don't know if I dig her yet, but by the end of it, I liked it. And it's a true good pro wrestling swerve.
Well,
at the
one
last
of the
match.
Best scenes of the series so far was the montage of them training together in the backyard with real-life wrestlers, Brodeus Clay and Carlito.
I did like that.
Carlos Colon Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And, the other wrestlers, by the way, for those that don't know, the other wrestling community that's in this is Nitro. Johnny Nitro.
John Morrison.
Hennigan is his real name. And then you had Brooke Hogan.
Yep.
Oh, man, she was rough.
She looked rough.
Yeah,
I had to look up how old she was.
I don't even think they really did her makeup that much. I think that's
her.
No,
she still looks like that. She still looks like a very ugly female version of her dad.
Yeah, which is not good. And then the Kevin Kylie Jr., the Steel Horse, he was, what was he in pro wrestling? He was Alex Riley in WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And then he was wrestling in his match, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, no, that he was not wrestling.
It was the match before, maybe.
Yeah, but Christopher Daniels was in it. He was looking a little pudgy around the midsection. He's getting older, though.
Actually, he's in his mid-40s.
Yeah, he's getting older. So there was a lot of good, there was a lot of good nod towards real wrestling.
And I believe Chavo Guerrero was the one who trained the girls.
You mean
I read that online.
In real life?
Yeah.
No. Oh, you mean the actors?
Yeah, like, no, he wasn't on the show. But
we're going to get to that here in a second. That's a cool note. I didn't read that, but we'll talk about that here in a second.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What do you think was harder for the females to get ready for this series?
The wrestling.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me lay it out for you.
Lay it out.
Learning the moves, getting in shape, or maintaining hairless areas?
Well, you could answer that better than us.
I think the third one's probably.
I mean, my God.
I guess it depends on how long it took them to film the show. You know what I mean?
Well, a lot of them were those 80s singlettes. I mean, that covered a lot of the hoo-ha area. A lot of girls waxing their asses.
Learning to take bumps, because it looked like they did some good camera trickery, but I guarantee you a lot of them learned to take bumps, and that's the hardest. Taking flatbacks, things like that.
You don't think Debbie Egan actually flew through the air?
I think that was a good cutaway to that, because I also don't think they'd risk her jumping on Allison Brie. In real life, Hollywood, and they get real. That's what Jackie Chan hates making movies here because he can't do anything, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Debbie Egan jumping, just not Allison Brie.
Yeah, it could have been someone else catching someone else.
Yeah.
But speaking of Chavo Guerrero, talking about the real gorgeous ladies of wrestling, and here were some of the differences between it. For one, it was Mondo Guerrero, Chavo's grandpa, who trained the women originally of ladies of wrestling. Yeah. So I read up on a couple of this and some of the things the women talked about. First off, it was the Bash Howard, who, by the way, we didn't talk about him.
I like Bash.
Chris Lowell, he's a good character that grew throughout. Well, he grew by digressing. He became more of a mama's boy and, by extension, progressed his character.
Yeah, well, I think any scene he had with Machu Picchu was fantastic.
Yeah, and by the way,
showed that, like, he wasn't, you know.
He wasn't in it to take advantage of the women.
Yeah.
And the one curious thing about this show, I will say, is their odd way of hinting towards him and Florian's relationship. I mean, they're gay, right? But they didn't come out and say it. Florian, his manservant.
Oh, I never picked up on that.
Oh, I thought it.
They're into costumes. He's into costume jewelry and costume outfits.
His servant came out in the final match in a tuxedo coat and bow tie, but with jorts on.
Yeah, and he rubbed the glitter on his eyes. I mean, it was very much hinted towards, but they never outright said it.
Like, you've never put glitter on your eyelids.
Yeah, I really haven't.
Well, hey, Bret Michaels put glitter on his eyelids, and he's a master swordsman.
Yeah, I guess he is. I don't know how much. Here's the deal with master swordsmen and rock stars from that era, especially. I don't think just because you you really tore through the bush, so to speak.
Wow.
means you're a master swordsman, because there was zero effort on their part. If you can't, like John Mayer, I get that John Mayer is a musician.
Yeah.
But he's also nailing really highbrow tail. You never heard Bret Michaels or any of those guys, you know, going after a really high celebrity. It was
always
groupie.
Would you consider Ric Flair a master swordsman?
Probably not.
He says he claims Halle Berry took a ride on Space Mountain.
Well, then he is. Then he is. He is definitely a master swordsman.
Gotta be 18 to ride Space Mountain.
Woo! So David B. McLean is the real guy that created GLOW. And Matt Clymer was the director that Sam Sylvia, who they called him in there. He was abusive. They said in a mean dad sort of way. Like, he would tell them when they're
fat,
like their ass was too big. He'd say things like, your ass looks like a bag of mashed potatoes and things like that.
Geez. That's rough.
And they say, yeah. Looking back on it, they can laugh about it, but he had directed movies like Butterfly, which was most noticeably famous. Pia Sidora was in it, and she won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. And the rub there is that's the year that people said that they bought it, because her husband, it was a billionaire, and they said he purchased her that award, and they gave it to her.
Never heard the story.
So, yeah, it's Hollywood. She's the biggest upset in the history of the Oscars, her winning. She's a horrible actress.
Even more than my cousin Vinny, that chick?
Yeah, because she's at least a quality actress. Pia Zadora, it was her first film. She was new through most of...
Was getting my cousin Vinny?
Yeah, but it was she was a big underdog in the category. Mm. So they kind of, though, here's where they differed from the real two guys is, for one, Matt Clymer directed the first 8 episodes, and he left due to he didn't like the comedic feel that they were leaning towards, but he wasn't as influential as the everyday life as they portrayed Mark Maron's character, Sam Sylvia.
I don't even think, excuse me, Mark Maron's character was involved in their everyday lives. It just so happened that I think that for the story, they made him likable and, you know, relatable him and Brie Larson.
Allison Brie.
Allison Brie, not Brie Larson.
Another hot girl.
Yeah.
Real hot.
You know, just their relationship.
Yeah. Well, and they always seemed like that. You almost thought that they were going to make them hook up, which I'm glad they fought that urge.
I'm glad they have kind of more of a Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with that. So David
McLean. We even talk about the girl he did hook up with, the scientist, her big British
Britannica.
Boobies.
Britannica, yeah. Her big what?
British boobies.
I don't think they were big.
They were big. I feel like they're the same as no one. Oh, well, Debbie Egan had huge boobs, but those were clearly fake.
I liked her character too, though. I did like Britannica's.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked her in the episode where she actually told him, Mark Maron, how she felt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought she was good. So David McLean was not a spoiled rich boy who was living off a trust fund.
Okay.
He actually worked with Dick the Bruiser in the World Wrestling Association in Indianapolis. And he was the commentator and ring announcer there.
Okay.
He pitched this idea to Dick. Dick did not think it was going to work in Indy. So he'd move off to he went out to Hollywood, where he could find the women and they would buy anything.
Yeah.
So he went out there, and that's how he got the idea. Here's where I came across. I said Mondo Guerrero was the original trainer. It was funny. The girls were put up in a motel.
Oh, okay.
And they had to live in a compound like atmosphere. They did get fined for breaking curfew. But they also got fined for breaking character. They were told to stay in character as much as they could.
Okay.
And they separated the girls' heel and face, and you couldn't be seen associating with the other side during the season. Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. It was also their original venue was a casino, the Riviera, and not a hotel. There was the entire show ran 104 complete episodes. They did what they did a season was 27 episodes, and he or 27 live shows they recorded, and he would cut and edit them to make them work. And it aired for 4 seasons. It was airing a 5th season or recording a 5th season when they ran out of money.
Okay.
One of the things I thought was a funny note is McClane, the real Bash Howard, was the original ring announcer and commentator.
Mm-hmm.
On the show, and this is complete 1987 here, he was replaced after the first season with Miles Headlock, who was a computer animated ripoff of Max Headroom.
Oh, yeah, I read that somewhere.
That's awesome.
So, when did they introduce female wrestlers into the WWF?
It's always been.
Always?
Always, yeah.
Even back in the... Fabulous Moolah.
And, but they...
Is Fabulous Moolah the one who gave birth to a hand?
Yes. No, that was Mae Young.
That was Mae Young.
A hand?
Yeah, bad story. Vince Russo.
That sounds like some... soap opera shit, for real.
It really was. It was. She was impregnated by sexual chocolate, Mark Henry. Mm. Yeah. And she was, by the way, 80-something years old at the time.
Wow.
And by all accounts, that's could all still could take a grown man down
in
a match. Yeah. So, pro wrestling has always had women in it. Now, it's kind of weird, the arc, because there was at one point in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and even into the 60s where they were taken seriously. It wasn't until the 70s and they kind of started tailing back to being just kind of sideshows. And in the 80s, they started getting a little bit more traction again, but that was because Vince would do things like bring Cyndi Lauper in to be Wendy Richter's partner and things like that.
Well, if women have always been in wrestling, why did they create GLOW?
Because there was no woman wrestling organization. There wasn't that was all women. And they really did. The characters were close, like... Welfare Queen was Big Bad Mama in real. Okay. Machu Picchu was Mount Fuji.
Okay,
and so there was there was no Russian one. She was. They even alluded in the show. They go, well, maybe you're down home. You got that everyday farm girl look.
Yeah.
Well, it was the farm girl, or the girl from the farm was the hero of it and stuff like that.
So they kind of.
They rolled
that in, yeah.
Yeah, because there was also more women than there was. There was more than 12. There was 20. And
yeah, I think they said that there was like 500 women came to the initial audition for that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it's weird, too, because after they parted ways with the Riviera, they then went to an old warehouse and turned it into a wrestling studio. So in this, they started at an old warehouse and worked their way up.
Yeah.
But, you know, so... Once you read it, now, also, there is a 2012 documentary called GLOW, The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, that I'm going to try to get. And
a documentary didn't inspire this, or at least...
The two creators and writers for this show were inspired by GLOW in general, maybe because they saw that, and they thought that there was a good show there. And they're right. It's a good show.
Great show.
I can see it being a 3, maybe 4 seasons just like it, and all the way up till they run out of money or what have you.
Yeah.
Because all of the women, the women, just like in real men, I don't want to say real pro wrestlers because they were pro wrestlers, but like their male counterparts, apparently in this documentary, you see the toll it took on them.
Yeah.
They equated it to being a car crash over and over every day, multiple times a day. And there's women with, like Mount Fuji, who was apparently one of the most beloved wrestlers from that time period.
Sure.
She has no knees, and there's some of them that were forced.
She has no what?
Knees. Her knees are shot, and there's some of them that were forced into early nursing home because of their physical. But I guess
I have to imagine are the bigger girls. Because it's already tough on your body to walk around bigger, and then if you're putting that extra strain
Mount
on
Fuji,
it.
Well, Mount Fuji, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
But they did say that every one of the girl, almost to a T, that they said in this documentary, said they wouldn't trade it. It was the best time of their life.
Yeah.
They enjoyed
sure.
it so much. I mean, it makes me, here's my thing on GLOW. Like, we talked about this before, like when you said, have you watched it yet? I remember the commercials for the tapes when they started reissuing the tapes.
Okay.
Because it was syndicated across the country, but very few markets. I mean, there was a bunch of markets that didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing as how much as I've been a fan, especially old school pro wrestling. I've never watched one GLOW, so it makes me want to hit the YouTubes and watch one and see. I mean, it looks fun. And she had read an headline, and it was Jim Cornette that said it was an absolute shit show. He said it was a circus or a joke.
Yeah, something.
She's a heel.
Yeah, so. But I loved it. I loved it. So that's our official Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
And segue into the rumors right now that they may do a all women's Royal Rumble this year.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
The only problem with that, and it's not a problem, but they will have to bring back some old school women because they just don't have enough women.
I think they would have to do 20 women and not 30.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoy that kind of news, because I am female, obviously, I don't know what kind of crowd you would bring, because I feel like there's just people out there that don't want to see that. They don't want to see women fighting. I mean, there's still people, even though that women are fighting in the UFC, they think it's horrible. Like, not that they're doing bad fights. They just don't think it's right that females are beating each other up.
Well, I think you would do it at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, and you'd have the females start, and then maybe one match in between, and then do the men.
It's a different scenario. I understand what you're saying, but they already have the audience because women in WWE, it's at an all-time high. Actually, it's at the best it's ever been in history in terms of, like, yeah, there's been great female wrestlers like Trish Stratus and Lita and even Chyna, but we've never had so many quality female wrestlers at one time than now.
Yeah.
And you can see that, especially in the last few weeks, of how they've been giving the main parts of the shows to the women. Like, they're doing it, running the ladder match over in SmackDown.
Yeah.
You got to see, I mean, that was the main part of the show. You got to see a women's championship match as a main part of Raw one day. I mean, and since we have had a Money in the Bank ladder match, which the running it back one was good, I think they took bigger bumps in the pay-per-view, but it was still a good match. A women's Royal Rumble is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I don't see them going so far as to making a tag team championship for women just because they need more women. Yeah. But it's good. I mean, it's the perfect time to come out with Glow because of what's going on in the real world of pro wrestling, and it's women right now.
I think they would do better getting rid of 205 and having a one-hour women's show.
Yeah, and they could do it just like they do 205. They could record it at one of the live shows.
Yeah.
I think you're right there because they need to give them some time. Mm-hmm.
So since both of you guys watch the current wrestling, who is your favorite female wrestler?
I like the Last Kicker, Becky Lynch.
Of all time or right now?
Right now.
Oh, that's a good question.
Who's Becky Lynch while he's thinking?
That's that redhead that wears the Sting Punk outfit and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I also happen to like Charlotte Flair. I like
My gut reaction is Charlotte Flair.
Alexa Bliss is a great heel, man.
Which one is she?
She's the bad guy on Raw, and I don't know that you know her too well because I usually watch SmackDown over Raw. She's a great heel, man.
That whole "This Is Your Life" though was bad.
Well, they talk about that. They missed the mark there. He's thinking too hard.
I am thinking too hard. I guess gut check, Sasha Banks.
I like Sasha, which one is she's the boss.
She's got the purple hair.
Okay. So, going back to
what? Well, I like the, God, I can't think of her name right now. The chick with the hugger. I'm a hugger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she's that one I know with the little side high ponytail.
Yeah.
So, going back to what you said, Tom, who's your all-time favorite female wrestler?
Oh,
I feel like you had an answer right on top.
That was Bayley, by the way.
Yeah.
Bayley,
yeah. Because she has a belly to Bayley suplex.
I mean, it's very sexist, but I think it's a two-part question because there's, like, the one I think is the hottest, and then the one I think is, like,
who's the hottest?
We'll go with that.
Stacy Keibler.
Yeah, but she was an awful wrestler.
I know. That's why I can't put Stacy Keibler. I think you're right. It's got to be Trish Stratus.
She's I don't know what the female equivalent to a Master Swordsman is.
I like Beth Phoenix a lot. I don't think she should be in the Hall of Fame.
The Glamazon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked her character.
I guess my all-time
respect for her.
I mean, I even though Chyna wasn't a typical wrestler, she's my all-time favorite female pro wrestling character.
That's a good one, too. I just feel so damn sorry for her.
Yeah, her life was really screwed. She was manipulated by a lot of men in her life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Triple H, probably his biggest sin is the way that he handled her career. Yeah, I like Bayley because she has the Bayley to Belly suplex. I just think it's fun that they play on names. Yes, allegedly.
Really?
They've even made snide comments about it on air.
Yeah. I don't know why they would make snide comments, because what does that matter? Your sexual orientation during wrestling.
Somebody who's the exact same birthday as me to the day and the year, Maria.
Oh, Maria, yeah.
Were you guys born at the same time, too?
I don't know. If you meet her, I'll ask her what time she was born on 225, 1982.
Great female wrestlers from the 90s, Jacqueline. Jacqueline was good.
You know who else was born on 225, my
who's
birthday?
That?
Well,
you gotta stop doing that. Wow. Without backing away. Especially to the guy that's wearing the headphones.
Anybody ready?
There was a couple women from GLOW that made it into wrestling. I can't remember her name, and I should have done.
Sherry Martel from GLOW?
Yeah, Sherry Martel. She was and she was big in the WWE. So
I think I remember her.
The WWF.
Yeah.
I think there was someone else too. There was another big one who
always
was,
loved. You know, it's funny is my dad will ask me my brother about wrestling every once in a while, and he took us a couple times. And he's like, "How's that old sensational Sherry doing? That scary Sherry."
Oh, wow.
I loved her, man. She was
she
great.
Dead?
She dead.
Yeah.
She had demons.
What kind of? Did she kill herself?
No, the wrestling term for demons usually means you have major drug issues.
Yeah, that person had demons. Anyway, so that was our GLOW-centered episode.
No kidding.
We got more to talk about if we want. We still got 13, 14 minutes, so.
Sure. All right. How's everybody's fourth?
Have we talked since the fourth?
No, because that was on Tuesday.
That was on Tuesday. We had a fairly low-key fourth. We usually have that big, like you had even texted, and you should have come over if you guys weren't doing much. But
should have.
We shot fireworks here. We played a little bit of games out here. Now last year it was a lot bigger.
We had our whole block minus one house.
And the Huskoviches were out of town this year. The Turners worked till late, so we did have people, and we sat outside from about 3 on. And we
went to the pool earlier with the girls. And
was the pool packed?
No one was there.
It was like us and maybe a couple other people. We had Katie and her kids came over for a little bit. And then we came back and grilled.
Our neighbor Barry and his family. Yeah.
Our next door neighbors on both sides both came over.
And we shot fireworks. Yeah. We spent about $90 on fireworks. So essentially got a bag that included, we got one grocery bag full of fireworks.
Okay.
And we did have some mortar shells. Last year was better because we spent about $60-$75. I think we got close to the same amount. But like literally 5 different people spent $70 to $100 on fireworks.
Yeah.
So we had a lot.
Yeah.
This year we were the only ones that had fireworks. Yeah. So, but our girls were happy. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And you let the girls shoot them off?
They did shoot a couple with me. I mean, Kaylin, I didn't get onto her, but I had to tell her she would get jerky when she would go light it. I go, "You got to stop jerking because you're going to knock it over." And the mortar shells are the last things you want to knock over.
So I see you all have your fingers.
Yeah, I grew up in the country. We've set ditches on fire and stuff across from my grandmother's house and things like that. But we were always fairly competent and safe. Now, we did have bottle rocket fights and Roman candle fights like crazy growing up.
We didn't make our own fireworks. That's just insane.
Yeah, now, we did that some when we were kids. But
you made your own fireworks?
Yeah, but I mean, our parents. So, yeah, big booms.
I don't even know how you would. It's just a loud noise, nothing that.
Gunpowder and paint. No, I'm just kidding.
Really?
No, I'm just messing with
you.
Yeah, mostly just loud noises. Just like blow.
Loud noises.
Like blow buckets, metal buckets as high as you can.
I don't want just a loud bang. Like I want to see something with that bang.
She needs a little pizzazz with her bang, not just a bang.
You need a little sparkle.
You see the trouble I have in our love life now. She needs a little pizzazz with her bang. How about yours? What'd you guys end up doing?
We went down to the St. Charles thing for a little bit, and I spent an hour and a half in line so Johnny Bananas could get a balloon animal.
Wow. That
That's called dedication to being a good parent. I had 2 beers in line, then went and had a sandwich, and then came back and still was in line. And so we get to the guy, and he gives out, like, well, I can do 6 different things or a surprise. I'm like, what a fucking surprise. And so he made, it's pretty cool, John a Cookie Monster balloon animal. And as soon as John gets it, he goes, nope, slapped it away.
Oh, no.
And so,
but did you make the noise for him?
Like, I did everything. I did cookie. C is for cookie.
I'm That's going to eat a banana. And then he was freaking out.
But then the guy goes, I think he felt bad, so he made one real quick because he noticed Kelly was pregnant. And he made a poodle with a little balloon in its belly. It's a pregnant poodle.
Aww.
It's pretty cool. The guy was very talented.
He melted our little rap hearts.
Aww.
Yeah.
So you went there on the 4th.
We went there on the 4th.
Did you watch the fireworks down there?
No.
So you didn't watch any fireworks?
I don't know if Kelly and I have watched fireworks since we've been together.
Wow.
You know what it is?
You guys are so unpatriotic.
Well, here's why.
You're killing me.
You know what? No, that's not true. When I lived in Soulard, we would walk down to Broadway and watch them from the riverfront.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with fireworks. I like them. It's the same fucking shit every year. And I hate, more than I love fireworks, I hate sitting in traffic.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we did was we just opened up our blinds on our second floor, and we just watched them across the county.
Yeah.
Good enough. And then plenty of people were shooting off fireworks in my neighborhood.
We went to
like downtown Fallujah.
We're still battling that with our neighborhood.
Yeah, on the 3rd, we went to the Heritage and Freedom Festival. O'Fallon, and where I play softball up at Ozzy's.
And they have rides and stuff?
Yeah, and I took the girls up while she was getting her tattoo, and the girls did some rides. It was, put it this way, days before they had half off at some of the locations around O'Fallon.
Yeah.
If I would have not done half off, I would have been furious as to how much the rides cost.
What are you doing?
She's waving away the fart I just let out. If you guys, maybe in the 100th episode, you'll hear some of my farting stories from the
maybe we'll get
unaired stuff when I cut that together.
Scratch and sniff.
But, we went to that. I took the girls.
What the hell's with that, the rides? I went to, like, a festival a couple months ago in Kirkwood. It was, like, $5 a ride.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Shit, for the amount of rides you ride, you might as well go.
Is meth that expensive for these carnies?
Well, I feel like if you ride, you know, 2, 3, 4 rides, then you might as well just go to Six Flags.
It smells like rotten meat.
Yeah.
The cheap rides were 4 tickets. The grown-up, quote-unquote grown-up rides were 5 tickets. These tickets were $1 each, or you could buy in bulk for a little bit of a discount. I went and got them at 50 cent day at one of the sports complexes, or one of the community centers. And I had a $30 credit there from rainouts for practices. So I ended up paying $20 to get 100 tickets. But I would have been livid had I paid money out of pocket for that thing.
Sure.
And so we did that. Then we had to take our oldest to volleyball practice where she met up with us. And then we went back and watched the fireworks with the Benders. And, it was okay. Hayden has very little tolerance for anything. If you're going to put on a show for Hayden, it better be a fucking show.
Oh, you need some pizzazz, huh?
Because she was she goes, all they're doing is shooting fireworks. She goes, they're just shooting fireworks. And she was ready to go. And I kind of seconded that sentiment because it was not a big, big show.
I'm over the fireworks.
It's got to be big.
I love 4th of July, but I think it's because it's just around my birthday, so I kind of associate it with my birthday.
Totally understandable.
Don't get me wrong. I love fireworks shows. If I lived in New York or were we downtown at Fair St. Louis or we were somewhere where there's really a lot of production that goes into it, I loved it. But the small local fireworks show, I'm kind of like, okay, get it, same thing. Wait for the finale. Okay, let's go home and fight the freaking traffic.
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't want to leave early because we didn't get there until late, and then I didn't want the Benders to be like...
Oh, they're grown-up people. They had family with them. They're fine. We did see our biggest fan, which is Rachel's mom. She loves me.
Biggest fan.
She is our smallest and biggest fan.
Biggest fan of you too?
No, not the podcast, just me in general.
Jeremy. Yeah. I think she tolerates me. No, she likes me because she gave me a hug, but she loves Jeremy.
I'd say that's the majority of people we know tolerate her and love me.
She loves Jeremy.
Yeah, what's not to love? I'm a big lovable bastard.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No booze. I didn't have it hooked up. Actually, that would have been thunderous applause on that one. So, yeah, other big things of note that have not accomplished yet is Spider-Man was this weekend, and I still have not went and saw it. I'm going to go.
Reviews are pretty good.
Yeah, I told her I'm going to go see it by myself in California if I have to.
Well, you have a whole day, basically. Yeah. Day and a half.
Have you ever seen a movie by yourself before?
Oh, yeah. I think one of the most notable and earliest ones I went and saw by myself was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, because absolutely nobody would go see that with me at the theater.
I worked at a movie theater for 4 years and never watched a movie by myself.
Huh. Did you see men in trench coats come in by movies?
Oh, well, when I worked at the movie theater, what was that movie?
Showgirls.
Showgirls was out.
That would have been 96. Yeah.
That was out during, like, the summertime, and I would work. We would have, like, a late morning, and then have the afternoon where we didn't have any movies, and then you'd have, like, the 4 o'clock movie, so we would just sit there for hours. But, yeah, during the day, during the week, that's all that came to see that movie. Was
Men by themselves?
Men by themselves. Huh. Except one time a couple came, and they came out for something.
Very relaxed.
Yeah. No, they came out, and they're like, started talking to me, and they're like, you're cute. And I instantly, I was very naive even at this age, but I was like, they're trying to take me home. I need my boss out here right now. I was like, I'm not having this right now.
What if they really were trying to take you home?
I feel like they were. They're like, you're so cute, blah, blah. I was like, oh, this is not my scene.
I can only say for sure at one time in my entire life that someone tried to get me to have, like a real couple tried to get me to be their third in a threesome. I think I told the story on the podcast. When I was living in Kansas City, and we go back to their house from drinking at the bar, this Mexican bar. And they're smoking. There's a lot of weed.
Uh-huh.
There's a DJ tables and stuff.
Okay.
A lot of Corona. And at one point, the girl kind of goes to the bathroom where she starts just flat freaking out and, like, shattering the mirror. And just,
oh,
wow.
And he's like, man, you got to go. I was like, is everything all right? He goes, you just got to go, man. And I couldn't get by him to go out the front door. So I went out the back door of the apartment. And I took the beer on my way out, stole their Corona on their way out. Yeah. But it was real weird. Like it was one of those very touchy. Like, yeah, you're a good dude. I'm like, and at the time I was like, I think this is the devil's three way. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there. I was really suffering inside. Like, is this gonna happen? Like, do I want to do this? Is this something I want to do? And then after a while, I was like,
I'm concerned that you were questioning.
Well,
it.
They spent like, a lot of money on me. At some point, I was flattered.
It should have been like, I'm not doing this shit. Not. Do I want to
I was younger. I was yet 30. I was a little flattered that they were putting so much effort into me. And it was really a cool scene. The guy, they were very hippie. But then, man, just whatever the combination of tequila, weed, Corona, just hit her like a... I got a feeling that there's some demons on her end quite a bit. Because she goes to the bathroom and all we hear is, kaboom! And he gets up and I'm...
She was mad because her man was hitting on you so
no,
much.
No. She just freaked out.
Oh.
Just, so... If they do the Jeremy story and they make a movie on your life, what song is playing during this freak out moment?
Oh, he was doing it was a good mix of a lot of things. He had some Beastie Boys. He had some turntables and he could mix them and let it play out.
So he'd sabotage?
No. It was old school Beastie Boys. And then he had some things like Depeche Mode and all kinds of good stuff you would expect from the hippie kind of establishment that I was at.
Speaking of your love, the Beastie
your
Boys.
Love.
Lifting me higher?
Lifting me high. We watched Ghostbusters.
I saw the internet throw out a Sabotage remix from
with Big Bird.
Bird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. There's a lot of good Beastie Boys things out there.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we used to go to Hooters all the time to watch UFC?
Yep.
Did anybody bring their grandpa?
No one. Well, someone did.
That's a
but
good
we
joke,
didn't.
Running joke for our show.
Yeah.
Though.
And Rusty met us up one night. Yep. And then he's befriended
Kaylin.
Like a guy. No, Kaylin wasn't there.
Oh, she
we
wasn't
stayed
there that
late.
Night. Okay.
But Rusty befriended a guy. And then I realized it was a guy I went to elementary school with. And we left. And Rusty stayed to hang out with that couple. And the next day
he
was like,
he did say that.
They tried
to
get me to come home with them. And I was like, what?
Yeah, and we love Rusty. We wouldn't know each other if it wasn't for Rusty. He's a great dude. But you got some. If Rusty's your ideal third, you got some. You guys got to reevaluate your relationship. I love Rusty. He would probably say that too.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, he's self-deprecating. So.
Well, maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow I'm going to a friend of the show's Callaway's gender reveal party.
Oh, what gender is he hoping to be?
Yeah,
oh, you mean this is for this kid? Oh, this is not where he's changing. You gotta watch it in this day and age, saying gender reveal party.
I'm sure there is somewhere in California, New York City, that people go on a 20-year-old's birthday or whatever, and it's going to be a gender reveal.
I'm
party.
A girl today.
Oh gosh, there was something. Well, shout out to Callaway. I hope you get pink if you're rooting for it, blue if that's what you want.
Well,
is
you
this
have
their first child.
This is our first child, and you have to wear pink or blue tomorrow to think what it's going to be.
Oh,
so what color are you wearing?
I'm going to wear a pink polo tomorrow.
And Kelly?
She's wearing blue because she has no pink maternity dresses. Really, that's why.
That makes sense.
We want to have one of our bases covered.
You want to cover it, yeah.
So what about little Johnny?
I don't know if he's coming.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he's invited or not.
What are they hoping for? Does it matter?
You know what? I really haven't talked to him too much about it, so... Probably a boy, though. Everybody, every guy wants a boy first, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was rooting for a boy, but now that I have two
He's
girls...
He's got a tomboy.
I do, and now that I have two girls, I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah. You know? I think it sounds like most parents, whatever they end up getting is fine with
Unless you're a complete asshole.
Well, I will say this, though. Kelly was watching some crap show on Bravo or TLC last night, like, Outdaughtered, and it was a guy who had a daughter with his wife, and then they had... Is it quintuplets is five?
Ooh.
And they were all girls.
Oh, I've seen previews for that
sucks.
Show.
Now, you know that guy's like, you know what? I love my kids, but fuck this.
Yeah. Enough girls.
So the other night, Jeremy and I were going to bed, and I'm just nosy.
Sounds
so one
like TMI.
No, to bed. Like, we were going to sleep.
Oh, you guys have your flannels on? Good night, Paul. Good night, Mom. Good night, Hayden. Good night, Paul.
Obviously, it's 40 now.
Yeah. But one of the last things I do before I go to bed is peek out the window to see if anything is going on.
That's your dentures?
Huh? Yeah. You asshole. Anyway, I want to see what's going on in the neighborhood, if there is anything. Well, this particular night, there was something going on.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. So I see this truck, because we live at the end of a cul-de-sac, was had come down and driven back up and parked at the second house from the top. This is not a truck that I've ever seen on this street.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I'm peeking, and all of a sudden I see these two girls come out from in between two houses, which is two houses over from us.
Ooh, it's a lady.
And I was like, this is not right.
These girls are 15 and 14.
They are the girl out? Yeah, the girl that lives two houses away is going into ninth grade.
Okay.
These boys had their license.
Yeah, someone drove because three boys got out of the truck and walked down to them.
No, I mean the girls were sneaking out of their house. Like, was that
no, they snuck out to sneak the boys in.
But the boy, you could tell I was sneaking because the boys parked down the street. Yeah.
I pulled that move. I mean,
high school party going on?
Yeah, no, not a high school party. Just poor parenting.
Yeah,
because the parents were home.
Yeah, the parents were home. Okay, and
at least one.
No, both cars were there, and you know they don't ever go anywhere. Yeah. But the daughter's bedroom is in the basement. Like, they have a walk-out basement just like us. Yeah. And then the parents live on the... they have a two-story, so they sleep on the top floor. And I... So the next day, I tell Kaylin, I'm like, hey, so-and-so snuck boys into the house the other day. She goes, so? I'm not her mom. I'm like, that's not the point. I'm just saying don't hang out with that girl anymore. Because Kaylin occasionally hangs out with her. And she goes, well, we're not going to hang out. She's in ninth grade now. I guess ninth graders and seventh graders can't hang out.
Well,
I would say
from hearing this story, never fix that fucking walk-in door right there.
All of our doors.
There's an alarm on every
our girls. Door. Unfortunately, our girls are punished by the sins of the past.
But listen, I'm not one to judge. I snuck out of my house. I snuck into boys' houses. But I was also...
What'd you guys do? Play Scrabble?
Yes. Yes.
You better.
But this was like... End of junior year, beginning of senior year, not the summer going into ninth grade.
I don't think I ever snuck into a girl's house.
Oh, man. Me neither.
I don't even know where to go with that. But anyway, I just feel like it's too soon.
Too soon?
Don't you think?
Ninth grade? How would you feel if Johnny Bananas was,
Dad, can I borrow the car? And it was, you know, 10:30 at night.
And he was 16 sneaking in a 14 or 15-year-old
girl. Where are you going, Johnny? Oh, I'm just going to Brad's house. Okay, have fun at Brad's house.
I think if Johnny Bananas was dumb enough to try to leave the house at 10 o'clock, I'd be like, no, he ain't going anywhere. Hopefully he'd be smart enough to leave at like 6, go drink a couple beers somewhere at some friend's other friend's house.
Well, yeah.
They'd call me at 9 o'clock. Like, I used to be like, hey, Mom, I'm spending the night at so-and-so's house. Right. And then so-and-so would spend the night at my house. But we were never at their houses.
Yeah, the one and only time I ever told my mom I was spending the night at a friend's house, and that friend said she was spending the night at our house. My mom figured out that was not happening.
Yeah,
we went out to like Portage de Sioux. Have you ever been out to Portage de Sioux?
Uh-uh.
So you have to drive down 94, and they have this big statue on the whatever body of water that is, a statue of like Mary.
Full of greats.
Yeah, a huge statue of Mary. With a glowing
halo,
like a glowing halo above her head.
That'd trip you out if you're on drugs.
No, it trips you out sober because I wasn't drinking. And I was like, from behind, because she's facing the water, looks like a huge penis.
Huh.
And the halo looks like a condom about ready to be slipped on down on it. So I was like, this is really trippy right now. And then I came home and got in trouble. And it was
I never had to sneak out. I just had parents that were really there.
The only time I ever like snuck out was when I was like in 7th or 8th grade. And we would sneak out like and go to... the Schnucks like a mile away and buy like gum or something.
Man,
or
you
soda.
Rebels.
Yeah, well, yeah, but then after that, like, I would just leave. Like,
did you chew the whole pack in one night?
Probably. but when I was driving age, I would go to work and then just sit, tell my parents. I never spent the night at my own house on the weekend. Hardly ever.
I
had like that one or two friend whose parents didn't care if we drank in the basement or... came home at 2 a.m. hammered, or...
I never had to sneak out. I just never... I mean, not taking a shot at my parents. My mom was a house cleaner and a bartender, so she was never home. And my dad was just my dad, so I did what I wanted. I just came and go as I pleased at any time. And I never stayed all night at friend's house to sneak out, because they would just say they were staying all night at my house.
Right.
So, and then it wasn't sneaking out. It was just, hey, we'll get back when we get back.
And I want Johnny Bananas to be the same as I... Hey, you know what? Do whatever you got to do, but by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, stay where you're at.
Right.
That's what I
want. Be responsible. That's all I want. Yeah. Just be, like, have fun, be a kid, just be responsible.
You guys, we're done with this episode, so you want to sneak on out of it and drink another beer?
Sure. Hey, you know what? It's the dead period, but let's go blues.
The dead period.
Bye.
That sounds like a scary movie.
Yeah, nothing's going on.
Play the music.
No, not you.
Customer service pissed me off.
Edit that in.
Again?
I don't know what I want to talk about, but it was like...